This is the Visual Developers Podcast with your hosts, Matt Varghese and Ben Parker. From maker interviews to tutorials and more, we're here to talk about all things no code.
Hi, everybody. Ben here with Visual Dev FM. We're back for another episode. We're super excited about this one. In this episode, we're going to be talking about Stacker app, which is super cool. And it's built to work with Airtable and Salesforce. Don't want to get too far ahead of myself. But before we get there, it's time, as always, for our no-code roundup. And so we're just going to spend some time talking about what's new in no-code. To kick us off, we're going to talk a little bit about Adalo. Adalo posted this past week that they have what they call the sneaky powerful new feature announcement. And basically, it's you can think about conditional visibility with apps. You know, if X, we can show this to the user. These are conditional actions, so actions that only happen under specific conditions, like an admin user goes to this screen, all other users go to that screen. So super cool feature. I think this is really awesome. I've been playing around more and more in Adalo lately, and I'm excited to share some stuff that I've been working on. But this is a really cool announcement, and props to the Adalo team. Really cool. Also, the something we came across was Y-code, and Y-code, right? I'll stop with the terrible puns. The Twitter handle is this link in the description, show description, but it's at join Y code, the letter Y. And so they announced today we launch our website, ycode.com, and later this year they'll make building web apps accessible to everyone. So hashtag no code. It looks to be from the same person who is behind MailerLite, which is awesome. If you haven't used MailerLite, it sounded like I said MailerLite. I'm not talking about the NASCAR beer. I'm talking about MailerLite, the really, really cool email tool. And so this is really cool. I saw this and I thought this is super interesting, and it looks like a very powerful, app. And I'm excited to see what they do with it.
Yeah, I think, I'm excited to see this one too. It's one of the I think we're going to start seeing more tools like this. If you go down this landing page, it talks about like the modern text app for web apps, and talks about connecting like Vue.js and, Postgres and, things like that. So it'll be really interesting to see how this plays out. But if it's anything, I love MailerLite. I have officially switched from MailChimp to MailerLite. So, shout out to Ignis, if I believe that's how you pronounce his name, and his team over there, because I think they're crushing it.
Yeah, this is really cool. And I just think, Matt and Lacey, you weren't on the call, but Matt and I were on the call. Lacey had done it earlier, separate from us, on a tool called Clutch, which we still need to talk about. But it seems like there's this swatch of tools that are really looking to take that next step to a more advanced place in that no code stack. And I'm excited to see what they do, because I think it, like I said, it looks pretty, pretty sweet. So ycode.com, if you want to check that out. Link in the show description if you can't figure out whether I'm saying why or why. Okay, so speaking of more advanced builders, I did want to bring up this also new thing that a lot of people aren't talking about yet, but it's called BusyWork, and it's busywork.co. Definitely go sign up, get started. It is a really cool tool, but essentially what it's meant to do is it's meant to be your back-end service all in one, and you can think of it like other automation tools, like maybe Integromats or Zapiers or Parabolas, but essentially it's meant to help you cut out all the connecting 18 different things and to kind of centralize a lot of that process for you. And so Patrick from BusyWork actually posted a YouTube demo this week of how you can integrate BusyWork with Webflow. And it is unbelievably amazing. I love the way he set this up. It is, I don't know. I can't wait to really try to incorporate it with the site. I think it's a beautiful integration. It seems really, really simple when I play with the tool because I've signed up and messed with it a little bit. And I don't know. It just makes me really, really happy when I start playing with it because it seems pretty, pretty dadgum powerful.
BusyWork is one of those things that like I looked at and I kind of understood the use case at first. And then I think I talked to you about it some more. And I was like, could it do this for, you know, this thing that I'm working on? And then I started to see like the value and like, I don't have to host my server side code on Heroku or DigitalOcean. If I'm doing a low code project or whatever, I can use BusyWork and I can make my authenticated API calls from there and return that. So long as the user is authenticated, return their authenticated data back to the browser. Just like, you know, a traditional web app would. So, I'm really excited about it. And that video was dope. I think that actually it didn't necessarily clear a lot up for me, but after seeing the interface, I was like, this is a tool that I want to play with for sure.
I agree. I thought it took the complex and it made it simple from how you're connecting all of these things. I feel like there are some platforms that it feels a little bit overly difficult to use them. And so this, it was exceptionally visual, and I'm really excited to jump in, and I've got like three things off the top of my head if I know exactly what I'm going to use this for.
I can't wait. And Patrick is incredible. And if you've talked to him, you know how great a person he is and very open and willing to share. And we're actually planning on having Patrick on an episode of the podcast. And so now we're just trying to schedule things out because we're month of March is dedicated to women in tech, but we're going to have Patrick on and let him talk in more detail about this. And I hope to create some videos as well about BusyWork, so everybody else can see kind of maybe some things that we can do with it. So I've been dreaming up some use cases as well, and I know I want to spend some time trying to figure out how to teach people some cool things that we can do with some cool use cases. So busywork.co, link in the show description, but definitely go check it out because it is a super amazing tool. Tom Becker's new from him, a new template for finance and SaaS. This is really, really cool. It just looks absolutely amazing.
It looks so good. And if y'all have listened before, you know I'm a big Tom fan. And he actually, I don't know if I can say this, but I will. He sent me this template that he put out, and I've started playing with it. I actually do buy a lot of Tom's UI kits and templates because it's such great work, and I'm very impatient to build things on my own. So if I can get his, I'm going to. And I was going through it, and it's really, really well done. It's beautiful. It's so easy to customize and work with. So if you are looking for a template like this, there will be a description and a card in the show notes, but definitely go check it out. Support Tom and the work that's going on over at Flowbase. They are such an excellent, excellent resource to our community.
1000%. Flowbase is amazing. Tom is amazing. And I love this template. I spent some time on Friday evening, I think it was, just digging through it and looking at it. And it is absolutely wonderful. So if you're looking for something new in that respect, definitely go check it out. Link in the show description. Bravo Studio, they had an announcement. So one of the cool things that you can do now is you can use your own custom font with Bravo after importing from Figma Design. Before, there were only certain fonts that were supported. Now it doesn't matter. You can bring your custom fonts with you. For an app that I think is absolutely killer and wonderful, this is just one more step in the direction of unbelievable and amazing. I love the work they're doing, and I couldn't be more thrilled that this is happening. So definitely go check it out. I think this is really cool. If you're not using Bravo Studio, you need to take some time to jump into Figma, jump into Bravo, and experiment a little bit, because not only is their tool completely awesome, they have one of the coolest teams on the face of the planet. They are just some of the greatest people I've ever had the pleasure to talk to.
And a friendly reminder that the wise Max Lind said it is a tool to watch, and it's a tool that he's watching. So I think it's a tool that the entire, you know, no code community should be watching too.
Absolutely. And so great tool, great people. Go check it out. Next on the list, Owen Williams, who is, content strategy manager for Shopify. And he is just an all around tech guru and wonderful person to follow on Twitter. He dropped an article on Medium about no code. So the future of coding is no code is the title of the article. Drag and drop tools make anyone a maker. If you haven't read this article, it is worth your time. Definitely make sure you jump over and take a look and read it. Because one, he's really awesome. And two, this content is really, really good. It's only a 4-minute read.
One of my favorite lines here, I actually tweeted this when I read it. First of all, this is a great read, and I'm like, you should most definitely check this out. But one of my favorite paragraphs says, some developers are quick to write off no-code tools for being too simple or not up to the task of real work, but that's precisely the point. Integrating an API or automating a basic task shouldn't require custom code every time, end quote. And I think that is spot on. I think you can do, complex work with it, but, I don't think that developers should be, so quick to write off no-code tools, because just like, another tool in your tool belt, like it'll help make you more efficient and, save you time and hopefully, cost.
1,000%, which leads us into the next tweet, which I think just matches so great. Andrew Wilkinson tweeted this week about Castro. So Castro is a part of the Tiny Capital family. And if you don't use the Castro podcast app, it's really cool, pretty awesome app. And so Jesse Hurlitz on Twitter tweeted, we stood up our in-app podcast ad business with Google Forms, Zapier, and Stripe. And we're going to be building this more out as we learn. But damn, it feels good to get to learn for cheap. And so they completely moved their advertising purchases to a no-code solution. And Andrew just said, we spent months debating how to build an ad platform for this. And finally we said, blanket and built it with no code tools in 24 hours. This is really cool. And in the thread, as you go further down, he talks about how, I think it was less than a week, they'd already done 20K in revenue with it, which is amazing. And that's the whole point. I mean, that's what Owen is talking about. It shouldn't take a team of developers to see if this way that they want to do things works. Quickly validate an idea, get it running. If it needs help being more scalable and you need to bring in engineers, but at least you kind of know the direction you want to go. So super cool. Link in the show description if you want to check that out. Elliot, we got more from Elliot. Elliot Twitter was weird last week, and that's like, it got weird, but they also dropped this really cool tweet that says they now have experiences. I watched this video, What Are Experiences? Experiences basically make it easy for, if you have a store in Elliott, to kind of show different things to different people. So, if it's, B2B, B2C, whatever, like you can absolutely customize storefronts for, global, local, different types of customers, all from the same dashboard and the same store without having to do a ton of work. Which this looks super cool. I haven't got to play with it yet, but it seems amazing.
I don't think any of us have gotten to play with it yet, because I think they closed off their beta recently. So that's kind of a bummer. So they're no longer taking on participants, from what I understand. But just to piggyback off of that, I think a good example is they have a tweet thread, which we'll link to. But let's say you have a store and it's got all your merch in it, t-shirts, hoodies, backpacks, all that good stuff. Let's say you want to just send someone a link, they're just looking to buy backpacks and you just want to show them backpacks. You can essentially create an experience and it'll essentially just group those backpack products together and it'll just show that in the storefront. And so I think the big value add here is, being able to do that from one dashboard, one store, pretty seamlessly. So shout out to them. There's a lot of good, I think Sergio started doing video responses in the thread. So go check out that thread if you want to learn more about experiences. And if you want to see the weirdness, I guess we might link to it in the show notes below.
Awesome. All right. Other new things. Coda back in the podcast this week. they introduced collapsible content and headings, which is something I've been wanting. If you work in Dropbox Paper at all, or you know other tools, if you have a heading, you can literally just fold up that content so you don't see it, especially if a document's really long. Having this ability in Coda is super amazing. I have some Coda docs that are pretty long, and to be able to kind of collapse some of that content and hide it, super great. So I'm loving this. Already started, like we were literally writing this outline. I was like, whoa, this is incredible. These three dots that show up out here next to the heading, what is this amazingness? So it's really, really cool. Definitely check it out. So Aaron Kornbilt, he released a new newsletter, and it's titled The No-Code Misnomer. We talked about this in the same episode with Max, but you know, it's been a conversation that we've had. People have been having in no-code Twitter space lately about whether no-code is really the right word for what we're all doing here. But super great read. Definitely go check it out. I love Aaron's work. If you aren't watching his live streams and some of the things that he's doing, it is super amazing.
So I kind of have a bone to pick with this a little bit, just a little bit though, only because I'm really curious. I love Aaron. I'm going to get that out and say that first. And I'm also going to say that I didn't read this intentionally because I just wonder, honestly, I've seen this circulating so much of should we say no code or actually is no code one word or two or is it no dash code or is that even what we want to be? And I'm really struggling to understand the point behind it. And it kind of to me, it feels like a little bit like I don't see why it matters really, you know, like why you can be whatever you want to be. You can call yourself, I mean, we do visual dev, MakerPad does makers, you know, like it, there's no coders. There's what, citizen developers. I don't see why people are stuck on this. Honestly, it's kind of, to me, it's like, who cares what it is. And we have no code conf and I don't think they're renaming that. So like, let's just, you know, I'm just, help me. I mean, you know, if I'm wrong here, tell me, but I'm confused as to what the holdup is and why it matters.
So that's a good point. Generally I would agree, but I think this is important from, I don't know if branding is the right word, but I think it kind of relates for me, it relates to like the concept of buy-in. Like if you're going to work on a team and like in a group capacity, you're not going to want to go to the development team and be like, oh yeah, we're replacing these tasks that you've been working on with no code tools. And these tools do it as good as you are. And just like, it's just kind of like Aaron says it really well in this article. He says, imagine if QuickBooks tagline was accountants are useless instead of organize and manage your business. Buy-in from the accounting department, which is necessary in order to automate that work, would suddenly become much harder. And I think he made a really, really good point about, it's just like, to me, it's like about the positioning. I think you're right to an extent, like maybe it's not something we should be focusing on. Maybe we should be focusing on development, but I think it's still like a conversation to be had. I don't think they're mutually exclusive conversations.
So I will throw in with Lacey here a little bit, just in the fact that I've always been one of the people that while everybody's arguing about what they're going to call it, I'm just going to go do it. Like that's fine. Like, you know, but I also can throw in with Aaron here as well, because I feel like the no code space is so new. And I think it matters what we call it. I think it matters how we talk about it. I think it matters when it comes to setting expectations. I also think we're so far down the tracks that not calling it no code anymore is not reality. I just think, I mean, Product Hunt has a no code category. Webflow has a no code conf. I think it's going to get called what it's going to get called, and people are already calling it no code. So for we're sure there anyway. And I think the other thing that we can agree on is that no code tools aren't new. Microsoft Front Page, Dreamweaver, there have been, you can go to Google, GeoCities, Site Builder, the tool that they had. There are all these things that have existed for a long time to help people build without code. But I think people worry about buyer's remorse. So when somebody comes in and they're like, I don't need to know how to code to do this, Yeah, but you're going to have to know, like, you do have to learn, right? Like, there's still a learning curve to no-code tools. There's still a learning curve to know how just how the web works and how to set some of these things up in general. And I think letting people know that sometimes, like we talked about this, sometimes you use a little code. Like, it just, like, you have to do it. Or sometimes you employ somebody to build a little piece that sets custom in between all these things that you're connecting to make it a reality. So I do see that how, I think Matt said, how we position it, I do think that matters some.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that point. I do think that matters. I think what I wonder is outsiders looking in of come, like, I wonder, it's like, are they, who do these people even know who they are? They can't even agree amongst themselves.
And that's so, a great point.
And so it's, to me, it's like this community is growing so rapidly that it's like, I agree, it's not going to change. I also agree, you're right, it's not technically correct. But it's just kind of like, it's one of those things. I just don't want I would rather see the community building on and learning rather than kind of like splitting hairs and things. That's all.
It's definitely different. It makes me think of, you know, I've seen some people talk about no code books or no code documentation. It always makes me giggle a little bit just because, not because I don't think those are bad. I definitely think if you're talking about the concepts of how to build, that's really good. But I think we release this podcast every week and these two, Lacey and Matt, can attest, it never fails. Wednesday morning after we release, I will see a tweet and I'll be like, dadgummit, that should be in this week's episode. And maybe we just need to change how we post or when we post. But, you know, our podcast sometimes, even this No Code Roundup, is outdated 10 minutes after we release the episode. And the space is changing so rapidly that I can't imagine that books around specific tools could even be relevant. You know, by the time you wrote it and released it, I can't see how that part's relevant if it doesn't rely on the philosophy of. So I don't know. It's definitely different and it's a fun conversation to have. And I think that's why people are having it. And I also think it's also a part of this conversation is just people who work in the space trying to figure out it's easier to know what you do when you talk about it a little bit. And I even did this. I just released my new portfolio and I spent a lot of time having conversations about the work I do just so I could figure out what do I do? Right.
And how do you describe it to others? Yeah.
How do you scope it? I think there's a lot of that's happening as well, because I think, you know, for me especially, I'm probably on the more technical end, maybe, of no coders, or maybe I'm in the middle. I don't know. But middle to more technical end, I end up using a lot of code or writing, you know, even when I use Zapier, I have a code step and I'm writing JavaScript and I'm returning things based on, you know, pieces or data in my steps. And I don't think a lot of people do that, but so when I do that, I'm always like, can I really say this is no code? Because this really does feel super complicated. So I do understand the conversation. And I think once again, it goes back to that education piece. Like, what do people understand about how a website works or how an API works and how these things connect together and how all of this functions as one? I think it's really, I think, you know, it can vary. It's just like anything else. You know, I know people who've called themselves JavaScript developers who, you know, they're just entering in, and it doesn't mean they're not a developer, but they definitely couldn't build, you know, more complex pieces by themselves, but they're still a developer. And I think it's the same way with like no code tools. Even if you're using like really basic pieces and you don't understand all the functionality, I think, and this was Lacey's point, if you're making the thing, what does it matter? And so, but it was a good read. I enjoyed the read and I thought that Aaron made some good points and this was a fun conversation. Maybe we just need to have Aaron on to talk about it. And that would be fun. That
sounds like, you know, it's interesting. So, I think it's interesting that like the people that are mega successful in the space, like Joe Krug, participate very little in like, I don't even know if Joe Krug has like a Twitter. Like, and I think he's on Facebook very little. So maybe the like the cheat code here is to stay off of Twitter and stay out of the conversation. Maybe I'm doing it wrong.
No, you're not wrong. Okay. Okay. We have sidetracked a lot. This was fun though. This was fun. Mackenzie Child, he posted a tweet. He recorded a new course for how to use MemberStack, Airtable, Zapier, with your Webflow site to create a membership site, be able to get content, manage users, all of that. So super cool. We put a link to that here in the show description. You should definitely go check that out. Mackenzie does unbelievable work. Chef's kiss emoji, you know, just all the great stuff that he does. And so I have no doubt that this course is going to be absolutely incredible. DraftBit, this is super, this is one of the coolest things. They're looking for their first five experts. So Nick from DraftBit, who is absolutely a gem of a human being, really great. He posted that DraftBit's looking for their first five experts. If you're mobile app fluent, itching to build, and you have an idea, if you're kind of one of those people who likes to, like Matt Max mentioned last week, you're a dabbler, you like to play with all the tools, and you like to get in early and see what they're about, and you're an individual creator, DraftBit is looking for you. So link here in the show description to a type form and to this tweet where you can apply to be one of these first five experts, because I think this is really cool. So check this out. And then I don't know how this waited till this long in the roundup to get here. We kind of mentioned this offhand, but No Code Conference is back. No Code Conf is back. They tweet, Webflow tweeted this week, the wait is over. Time to mark your calendars. November 18th and 19th, 2020 in San Francisco at the Palace of Fine Arts. There's a link to that tweet and a link to a blog post about it in the show notes here, but I cannot wait. And I hope that we get to see a lot of you there. I hope I get to attend as well. I think it's going to be a super awesome conference, and I can't wait for, I'm just over here waiting for more details. I can't wait to hear about all the cool things that are coming for the new year. I think Matt is planning to attend.
I am hoping to attend. I like how Ben says, I can't wait to hear all the details, as if he hasn't heard all the details already and is holding out on the rest of us. Mr. Webflow employee over here knows about all the secrets and he refuses to share.
Now, this is one of those, I promise, I don't know the details. I really don't. And I can't wait to see what happens with this. And I know Lacey is also talking about attending and will probably be there. Lacey, you're going to be there, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I will absolutely be there. I'm really excited. I can't wait. Last time I went completely by myself, and that I did not enjoy that part. So, but I'm very excited about it.
So we know two members of the Visual Dev FM crew will be there for sure. I might be attending. It just depends. As a Webflow employee, you know, there's certain people that have to be there. And so it's kind of, we never really know where it's going to be at. If I can be there, though, I promise I'll be there. And if I'm not, I'll be rooting for all of you who are there. It's going to be awesome. And so, but super excited. Go check that out. Make sure you've visited the website. Hope you're on the mailing list, because lots of cool stuff coming. And I think that's going to be awesome. So the next thing on the, this is another one of those really long no code roundups.
This is going to be a long episode.
NoCodies.com. So No Codies, we wrapped last week, and we do have our winners. So for automation, Parabola was the product of choice, followed by PandaFlow and Integromat. Bubble project of the year was New Code. Other ones mentioned there that placed second and second because they tied, Aqua and Good Gigs, which is pretty cool. Development tools, Bravo Studio. Congrats to the Bravo team. They're super awesome. They were number one. Sparkle, which I personally have not used, came in number two, and I need to check out. And Webflow came in number three, development tools. E-commerce, Webflow e-commerce, number one. Glide, number two. Elliot, number three, which is really cool. Education, this was a fun one. This was the barn burner that everybody was voting in. So Webflow University, one, and McGuire Brannon, number two. MakerPad, and number three, New Code. And product of the year was Parabola with Glide and Zapier following behind them. And then streamer content creator, we'll mention another No Code podcast, which is No Code, No Problem, was number one. Jack Vaughn of Glide was number two. And then Pixel Geek and this podcast actually tied for three. So there you go. Twitter account, Sacco is there, Ben Tossel, Vlad of Webflow fame. And then use case, use study was how to build a marketplace without code, number one, which is Connor, super awesome. How Lambda School operates without code, which I thought was really cool, came in second. And then my journey to building a better, building a no code prototype, which was actually a product hunt post, which is really good, came in third. Utilities, in that category, it was MemberStack 1, JetBoost 2, Simple Scraper 3. A visual developer, it was Sarkis 1, Joe, who Matt just mentioned, number 2, and Ionia, number 3. And then Webflow Project, number 1, Unicorn Factory, number 2, The End Survival Game, and number 3, Hey Marketers. Links to all of this down below in the show descriptions, but just wanted to give shout-outs to the people who won because this is super cool. It was really fun to be a part of this, and we're going to try to do it even bigger and better next year. So congrats to all those no-code folks. Now, moving on to include her. So we talked about this a couple times. Next month, so this should be the last episode for us, normal episode for us this week. And then next week, I want to make sure you're listening. Tell all your friends. We don't ever beg for you to talk about our podcast, but we're going to beg for you to talk about our podcast. Please tweet about it. Please talk about it. Please share it. So Lacey's going to take the wheel for the month of March. We have some really awesome guests. We're still confirming specific dates, so we're not going to talk about those right now. But we will be tweeting about it this week, and definitely keep your eyes on it. We're super excited, but the whole month is focused on women in tech, and I can't wait to hear. We'll be playing a supporting role, so we'll be helping write out lines and come up with all the funness, but it's going to be Lacey driving, and we're going to focus on I mean, one of the things we talk about a lot, we launched Visual Dev School open for signups, and we saw a lot of people sign up, and probably a lot of you who are listening, so thank you. But we also noticed how low that number was as far as like women who signed up. Just the same way when we see podcast stats, you know, it's Spotify can give you really granular information, and we see a lot of men listening to the podcast, but much fewer women. It just seems like they're it's a tough place for a space for women to be in, and so we're dedicating this whole month just to talk about it, to shine the light, and we want you to share it, talk about it, but be a part of the conversation. We want to know how we can be better. We want to know how the no-code space can be better, and we want to figure out how we can help in the tech space in general. So that's what this next month is about. Did I miss anything, Lacey?
No, not at all. No, I'm really
telling me now.
Yeah, you're perfect.
I know some people who would disagree with that, but that is this week's no code roundup. What's new in no code? So now that we're through that, we're going to talk about Stacker app, and we found it. I know Lacey found it and sent it to us. No code Jack, Tom Osman, all people who are Stacker app fans, and we came across it, and I had not used it a lot personally myself yet. I have dug in some and played with it, and I'm super excited about this. And I know Matt talked about it last week. He's complete fanboying about Stacker app.
I don't know if there's like an app that I am more excited about right now, especially like they've got some really good updates in the pipeline, and we're going to get to all that. So I'll just stop right there, and I want to hear about your first experience with Stacker, or I guess explain what it is.
The Stacker app, I mean, they talk about it. They call it the digital interface to your business. So essentially they say, engage your customers and your team with Stacker. It's a portal powered by your data. So it's really simple. It's a dashboard, a portal that is based off the data you have. And they work with two different databases. So the first of those is Airtable, and the second is Salesforce. And if you've used Salesforce and you're listening to this podcast, I'm sorry. I do think Salesforce is a really cool app, but Salesforce is also really just difficult to manage. And so we're gonna get there in a minute. But essentially the premise here, Stacker lets you create this dashboard based on an Airtable or based on Salesforce. And so that means you can authenticate, you can choose which users can authenticate to this portal and have access. And instead of working to update data in your Airtable spreadsheet or in Salesforce, they can work straight in Stacker to make those changes. And then it syncs up with that database. And what it allows you to do is to make it a little cleaner, to give, you know, you limited access to per user, and to kind of have a cleaner, more centralized place to have that data. You can also, and Matt is really the expert here, so I should probably let him talk about this, but you can really customize how this space looks. You know, the detail pages, you can really edit what those look like and what people have access to. And so it's really a killer app. And so I do want us to talk about, Matt built something with this, and I want to hear what he built and what he's using. I built something with it. We'll talk a little bit about that too and get into use cases. Because you may be saying, okay, well, if I'm just updating Airtable, why am I not using Airtable?
Right. Dude, that was actually my first thought too. Like when I first thought, I actually didn't originally think about, oh, this actually works for this exact client project I'm working on. But I was like, why do I need an interface to work with Airtable? It is an interface. But then, like, if you think about it, if you're working in a spreadsheet and you're having to work in a spreadsheet often, like, it is not fun to just, like, use a spreadsheet as your main go-to UI. The experience just isn't there. But so the use case that I had, and I talked about it briefly on the podcast, so if you listen to the last episode, sorry, I'm going to repeat myself a little. But so we had a client approach us. They essentially manage all of their projects in Airtable. So, you know, their current projects for 2020, past projects that they're finishing up, you know, they store a lot of data on hard drives. So they have a big office. So, you know, they store this information is on this hard drive and this hard drive is in this room or on this shelf. They have like personnel on there. So like, you know, this department and things of that nature. And so what they contacted me for was they wanted to their whole team to be able to manage projects in Airtable, but or manage entire projects, but with a better UI than Airtable. And they're pretty good at Webflow design. So they're like, can we just do the UI in Webflow and you just, you know, create the functionality so we can essentially change a project status from, you know, in status one and move to status two. And so at first I was like, yeah, this is cool. Like I can get that set up in IntegraMAT.
When you say status one to status two, so essentially you're saying like, okay, if I'm just going to use my own project. So if I've got a project and I'm in sales mode, and so I'm out of sales, I've closed that deal. I closed it. Now I'm in, you know, I'm in proposal, research like, and
right. Yeah, sure.
Research scoping. And then so they're kind of status that way, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So like, so they work in, you know, music and film. And so, you know, things will move from, you know, pre-production to post-production and things of that nature. So I liked the idea a lot, but at the same time, I also know that, in fact, I rang the idea by Ben. I was like, is this possible? And like, Ben brought up a good point that like, this isn't really what Webflow is built for. And so I tried it out anyways. I tried to see if I could get it going in IntegraMAT, but like, there's so many pieces and like, that you like the watch for changes, Airtable integration. Ben, you had firsthand experience with this today. It is not as good as, you know, something like Google Sheets. Because isn't there some sort of limitation?
There's a limitation, and then it's just also, you know, like it's one of those pieces in IntegraMAT. You might be able to up it based on your plan, but you're right. Gonna have to be on a higher tier. And it's not instant. It's like every minute or whatever. So you know, if somebody pushes a button and you want it to instantly sync back to Webflow. You know, if you've got multiple people using this interface, you just end up in this wait and see, especially if, you know, you're using Airtable to manage that database. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, for sure. But playing around with it, like playing around with the IntegraMAT piece, it just didn't work as well as I wanted to. So I was like, I was about to go to the client and be like, hey, like I could probably build this for you. It might require some code, but I don't really think this is the most efficient thing because right at that time, like what's that?
One of the things we were talking about was writing code and using something like Firebase, yeah. Right? So Matt and I are kicking around all these ideas.
What else could
we do?
What I was, that's what I was thinking, because I have a SaaS app that we built and it uses Firebase to make real time changes. And I was like, maybe I could like send the data there. I was really trying to exhaust every option before coming to the client and being like, I just don't think this is what like Webflow is built for. But Lacey, Tom, and No Code Jack came in clutch with the Lacey sending us their tweet. And so I played around with Stacker, and you know, like, it is super simple to get going, and it was exactly what I needed. So essentially you the process is you have an Airtable base and you have all your data, and the only thing you really have to do is one, get your API key, which Stacker walks you through. They'll take you straight to your account page where you can get your API key. And then two, you have to create what's called a users table. And it's funny, Ben and I we talked about this on the last podcast. We were like, hey, the users table piece tripped us up. And I was talking with one of the co-founders in chat about it. And that was on a Wednesday. And then on the following Friday, 2 days later, they rolled the fix for that users table piece. So they're killing it on the updates front. And we'll get to the founders later. But so you take your API key, you give it to Airtable, and then you create your users table. And they just set up this interface for you. It just takes like, you know, 20 seconds. And so you can customize like all these different views. You can set up like detail views and list views. You can set up cards and tables. But my favorite piece is the custom permissions. I think that is a very underrated feature. So essentially what you can do is, you know, let's say I don't want everyone to be able to update certain records, or I don't want people to create new records, because you can also do that in Stacker. You can add new records to your Airtable base in real time, but maybe I don't want everyone to do that. Or maybe, you know, going back to our film example with my client, like those hard drives, you know, those are very organized. You don't want people to be able to just delete that and override it. So you can make, you know, certain things, certain, I don't know what, I guess Airtable calls them bases, or, you know, the sub sheets inside of an Airtable base. You can set custom permissions on each of those. You can limit, you know, who can update certain fields. You can get really granular with it. And I think they're rolling out like things like multiple user roles and things of that nature. But all in all, I guess the value prop here is it is a user interface with authentication right out of the box. For your Airtable data, that makes for a much, much better experience than editing data in Airtable, or I guess Salesforce. I mean, Ben, you've got the Salesforce experience firsthand.
Yeah, I mean, it's really cool. And I think one of the things I love about it, like Matt said, it's the user authentication. So essentially you have a users table in your sheet, and you can say, you just include names and email addresses, and you point it to the email address field. And then you also have an email, you have a link that you can send people. And essentially what it does is they go to that link, they sign up for your database or for your portal. And then, you know, they create their own password, all that fun stuff. Works really well. And you can choose to whitelist it like that, where if you don't have them listed in those users, in that users panel, then they can't sign up. Or you can open it up to everybody. And, you know, you can, if this is something you wanted to just kind of have, let people sign up for and have access to, you could do that as well. One of the things I love about it is it allows you to only show certain fields and pieces as well. So, you know, if you have fields and data in your Airtable and you don't want people seeing those pieces, you can hide that too. And so it really gives you a way to protect that data. I also think this is, Matt and Lacey and I were debating about what we talk about here, but it does feel like the ultimate workaround for not just like just anything you might be using. So let's say, you know, you have 15 people who work for you and two of them use Airtable full time. And so they have like these massive accounts, or they use a CMS full time. And so you have this CMS plan that you pay for and it's, you know, XYZ, but you also have 12 other people who contribute at a trickle, like just once every 2 months, once every 3 months. So this way your team can kind of pitch in and still update data. You can use Airtable to sync back to a CMS to sync, or just syncs back into Airtable. And then that way it makes it more accessible for your team at large, which is really cool. But from the Salesforce side, I ran a Salesforce instance in my previous role, and it was a nightmare. And I'm not speaking poorly of Salesforce. Salesforce is an incredible tool. I have a Salesforce sticker on my laptop. I'm a Salesforce fan. But it can be incredibly difficult to manage. You know, they have this, they've have a new version, but there's still the legacy settings that you jump into to change things. And sometimes things aren't named the same way, and it's really hard to get views that you want. And so you spend tens of thousands of dollars for a Salesforce developer to come in and build out these views for you in Salesforce. To be able to manipulate, like I opened up Stacker and I was like, oh my gosh, I could have saved so much money and built some of these pieces myself and really had that same amazing, incredible functionality and had a much fatter wallet.
I think that's why, you know, Michael and Sam, if I get this wrong, forgive me, but I feel like I read an article about how the two co-founders came together. And I think they were both Salesforce consultants or something like that. And, you know, they saw like all these companies needed, you know, interfaces for their data and portals for their data. But like it costs an exorbitant amount of money to get that up and running. But for something pretty basic. And so I think that's what Michael and Sam decided to build. They decided to build the portal. And it's just like it's really easy to use. You can, you know, I think Ben and Lacey and I were talking before the call, like Ben was saying, it's like kind of hard to show custom fields in a certain view, but like with Stacker, it's a toggle switch. And like, you can like set, you have like a higher level view to show you like, a little bit of information about a record, and then you can click into it and you can get the full scope, like breadth of information. It's just, I'm a big, big fan of this tool all the way around.
No, I love that where you just said about how those people were both like Salesforce consultants or something like that. And then like they saw a problem and then they created a solution without writing code. And I love that because it, you know, we talk all the time about how we never want to pit, you know, developers against like no code people, whatever we're calling ourselves. So, but how they come alongside and like work together and create a solution, I think that is such a powerful, powerful display of how no code works and how developers can work with, you know,
100%
visual development tools. And it's just, anytime I hear that, it makes me really happy because I want to see more and more of that.
And I love this too, because when you get into that detail view, like when you open a record, like Matt said, you get essentially this dashboard where it shows all your records and you can just show one or two fields with an image maybe, so you can kind of see these things. When you jump in, you're presented with all these other fields and then custom fields that maybe aren't in Salesforce or Airtable that you can have there. And everything is drag and drop building. So like you can drag elements out, put them on the page, and, you know, side by side, one under another. And it's super easy to do that. What my use case was, I spent, I want to say 30 minutes building this too, by the way, super easy. So what I did is I built an Airtable and I had my users table in there. And then I also had another tab with some fields. And so essentially with Webflow, if you have a Webflow team account or you're working with other people in Webflow, what tends to happen is, you know, you don't know where everybody is working. And so you'll jump into a project and it'll be like, oh, you can't open this project. So-and-so has it open. You're like, dang, I wish I would have known that. Like, man. Okay. So you kind of go back to square one and you can message that person, figure out what they're doing. What's their time frame? How long are they going to be there? Because you might have stuff that you need to do too. And so when you work in that setting, you just have to be really over communicate with people. And so what I did is I built an Airtable that essentially lets you check in and out of projects. So it lists all the projects that you might have in your team dashboard. And then it's, when you click on it, it's automatically editable. Hat tip to Matt, when you go into the edit mode, there is a nice little button you can click on. We'll try to have a GIF of that linked here.
I think this episode is going to be one that requires some visuals. So I'm going to see if we can publish an article and maybe roll out a video this week too. So keep an eye out for, I promise you, at least one of those. There will at least be some sort of article or video coming out about Stacker. So keep an eye on the visual.fm Twitter account.
Love that. I also owe people an explanation of this one, so I'll work on that too, because I had a couple people express interest. But essentially what it would allow you to do, you click in, it's automatically editable, and you could say, oh, you, from a drop down, you select your team member. So who are you? I'm Ben. And so I'm working on, you know, I clicked into this project and I can choose, I'm checking in to this project, and it gives me a field to describe the work that I'm going to do. I've got a field in Airtable that automatically actually captures the time. I can say whether I'm going to be in the editor or whether I'm going to be in the designer. And then it also has a field where you can say how, like, what's your estimated time frame? Like, I'm going to spend 60 minutes, 30 minutes, 15 minutes, 2 hours, 3 hours, you know, all day, essentially. How long do you plan to be in that? And then you can click it. And essentially with conditional visibility, you can have multiple tabs. You can have a tab that just shows the projects people are currently working in. So then you can come in and see what projects are currently being worked on. You have a tab for everything else, so you could check into those. And then once I hooked up Integromat. So since I'm using Airtable for my database, I've essentially said, okay, when this change is made, let's look for updates. It's every 5 minutes in Integromat. So every 5 minutes, it's going to pull Airtable for changes, and then it's going to post to Slack. Hey, Ben is working in this project, and here's the notes he had. Here's what he's working on. He'll be there for this long, what have you. And then that way, as a team, as an agency, as a design team, you can kind of know where people are at and how long they plan to be there. Because one of the things that you can do as a team is you can duplicate a project and then, you know, copy and paste changes back across if you have to be in there. So you could come up with cool workflows for that too, about how you're copying and pasting and merging. It almost becomes like its own little GitHub type piece for Webflow. But I set that up. And then once you're done working, you can check out, and it also posts back to the channel and says, oh, hey, Ben's done working in this. And then I used Integromat to also add everybody's check-in to a third sheet that just basically shows, that's visible in Stacker, which basically shows all the changes. Like, Matt was in this project and he made these changes on this date. Lacey was in this project, she made these changes on this date. Ben was in this project. And then you kind of know, like, oh, like, man, that feature's killer. Like, oh, who did that? Oh, that was Lacey. Pretty incredible. You know, and so you can just kind of see the work that's being done. And it kind of gives you this way to kind of go back and know where people have been.
I really like what you built, because I think a problem that I have, and then maybe some others in the no-code community, is like, they'll look at a tool like this and be like, okay, yeah, it's just like an interface for my Airtable data. But it's not just that, because, you know, you just showed that you can, with tools like Zapier and Integromat, you can literally turn this into this entire app, essentially, and, you know, do all these actions based off of changes within Stacker, which, you know, trigger an Airtable change and all of that good stuff. So I think that's like the way to think about it. It's like, not only can you build, like, you know, project management tools or, you know, CRMs or things like that, but you can build, you know, great team-oriented interfaces that act as an app. I think that's the best way to put it.
No, it's incredible. And I just think about, like, even if you do have a CRM, like, you add, somebody adds a new record and you can literally add a new customer in there. We can automatically ping Slack. We can send an email to whoever. We could, you know, you take all of these actions based off of it. It makes life pretty incredible. You could use it as a help desk, you know, have people fill out the Airtable form. Like let's say you work in IT and your customers, your clients are the people in your company. They fill out the Airtable form for this, a request form, or maybe it's a form on the site that connects to Airtable. It dumps in there, and then guess what? Now you have a request that sets in, you know, Stacker, and you can triage that and have it switch between views when you've handled it or completed, and you have a record of the work that you've done. So there's all of these. You could use this with your clients if you're building no code apps for them to send in tickets to you, right? Like, there's all these kinds of cool things that you can do with it. It really has this incredible power. And I've got some ideas of some things I want to build based on what I did today. And like I said, a really short amount of time. And I can't imagine the kind of things that you could do if you really, really took it to the next level. So super fun. And I hope you check it out. Matt did share with us like an email he got from the Stacker team. So they do have a user roles beta happening. So if you'd like to try out having multiple different types of users with different permissions, they are working on that. And so if it's something you're like thinking of, or you're like, ooh, I'm using Stacker, I want to try that, or I'm signing up for Stacker, I want to try that, reach out to their team. And then they shared some sweet and savory screenshots of this redesign they're currently in the middle of, to really clean up these dashboard pieces and add in some cool functionality. I see menus and submenus that are in there now, because you could customize a menu, put your company's logo up there. But now I see all these other features, notifications, and all these different things that just look really, really sweet within these screenshots. Cannot wait. We'll post links to this email. Hopefully, I think we can find it and update in the show notes so you can see these. But they look wonderful, and I can't wait to check those out as well. So that is Stacker. Closing thoughts from Matt or Lacey on this?
Lacey, I'll let you go first.
I'm really excited to try it. With you guys talking, I haven't used it before, but I definitely will, because like a client portal is one thing that I really, really need. And so I'm thinking that'll be my first use case, but then I'm also thinking of these like web app things that I could build that, you know, for fun or for actual functionality purposes that other people can get in and use. It's making me think of ways that we could use it for the school. My mind is just all over the place now of like, I feel like a squirrel on meth at the same time. So, you know, all over the place and excited about what this could do.
I feel like there's a ton of use cases that like when you think about it and like when, in conversation, like with both of you, like I'll think about different use cases. I think one of the things that they could do, or that I would like to see them do, is like list more use cases on their website. Cause I think it's not 100% clear. Like if I come to this website and I don't immediately know, like, or if I don't immediately have a hint of like, I am going to use it for this project, I think it should be, you know, clearer, like, hey, you can do it for this, and maybe show, you know, really good examples of it, of live portals that I can log into, and things of that nature. But I am really excited for Stacker. I think it is one of my personal tools to watch. I'm interested to see where they go long term. We mentioned in the last episode briefly that I think they raised a 1.2 million euros. Yeah, 1.2 million euro round, because they're in, I think, London and Switzerland, the UK and Switzerland. But Michael and Sam, the very, very nice folks, I've talked to both of them over intercom. I think we're going to see if we can have them on the episode, see if they'll come on. But I'm pretty excited about this. I think it's one of the tools that will find its way, even though I don't use, you know, we briefly mentioned this on the last episode too. I don't use Airtable much. I just, if my clients are using it, then I guess I'm using it. Right now I'm not at the point where I'm recommending Airtable solutions to my clients, but that could change in the future. And if it does, Stacker will be a part of my workflow.
This makes me want to recommend Airtable solutions to my customers. I'll be honest with you.
Right.
You know, it makes me, it makes me giddy for what you can do. And so, you know, for me, I do think that the use case piece is good. That's a great note. I also think if you use Salesforce and you see create your own views, you're automatically like, okay, I'm in, like 1,000%.
Dead on. Yeah.
It can't be harder than what's there. But you know, on top of that, the one thing, the users table was really confusing to me. I'm glad they're kind of starting to clear that up. I still, like, when I signed up, was like, wait, is it in the same Airtable? Do I need two Airtables? Is there a table for my users?
And that's a good point, yeah.
Am I storing their passwords? I don't want to store their passwords. You're not storing their passwords, right? But there's some of that that is super confusing. And so, definitely want to I can't wait to see how they clean some of that up, but I love playing with it. Even in the midst of all that, like I said, I think 30 minutes or less, we had something up and rolling, which was super fun. I'll try to make a video on that for sure.
For reference, it's like we get emails and like DMs to check out no code tools. And like, there's like, I think Ben Tossel said this the other day, like I think he was saying it either about a no code app that was built or a no code tool specifically, but he was like, it takes a while. Like it takes a lot nowadays for me to be like really wowed by a no code tool. And like, I'm kind of the same way, but this is one of them that I'm like, this is impressive. I like what they did here. And that's why it's, you know, one of my tools that I think we should all be watching.
Yeah. And I, you know, final thought here, but I do think that one of the reasons I love it is the learning curve is really, it's not steep. You know, so many low code tools you pick up, there's a high learning curve that goes with them. And you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't know I needed to know about all of these different things. And all these different pieces. And you know, like I know some tools, like when you build with them, like the, especially the user app side, you know, you can build these sign in and sign up flows, but when you put them in, you're like, you still have to build them. They don't have them pre-built for you anywhere. And I mean, what I love about this is it's just dead simple. It pulls off your current database, whether that's Salesforce or Airtable, and then it's drag and drop design. And what do you want to do? It was really, really easy to get into. So hope you check it out. We also hope you enjoyed the episode, and we want to thank you so much for listening. And then, like we said, please, you know, rate and review, share, whatever. But what all we care about really is this next month. We think it's going to be so much fun. We really hope that you share it with your friends, talk about it, and keep listening, because a lot of good content coming in March your way. So hope you guys have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to visualdev.fm. You can find us on your favorite social media platform at visualdevfm.